June 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. for adults 21 and over. Explore the zoo, enjoy unlimited samples of wine and beer, and bites of local cuisine. For more info, visit racinezoo.org.
Hi, this is your host, Saad Youssef. There are a lot of topics to talk about today. We're going to be talking about the features of iOS 12, the new operating system for Apple, the features of Android 8, Android Oreo in other ways, features of Office 2019, new features of Windows 2010 so that you can better utilize the machine, and of course, we're going to end it with some robotics. So guys, Office 2019 is also coming. There are going to be some changes to Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. These are some good changes. For example, a lot of the people are starting to use Microsoft Office on tablets or on Microsoft Surface, or a lot of the computers that are being used are touchscreen. So what Microsoft had decided to do is to introduce Microsoft Ink, which allows you to use stylus or pen to do highlights in a Word document or make notes and some cool things. Similarly, in Microsoft PowerPoint, Microsoft has introduced this very cool thing called Morph, which is also available right now in Office 365, but will going to be available further in the next version in Office 2019, alongside some Zoom features. It is also expected some cool charts will going to be added in Microsoft Excel, and better ways of presenting data. Also, there's a big push for people who want to work in real time and they would like to do collaborative work. So that's another thing. Google has been doing it for some time with Google Drive, Google Docs, for a very, very long time. But now Microsoft is also pushing for being able to introduce real-time work, where collaborative work, multiple people can be working on the document at the same time, or on an Excel spreadsheet at the same time, or PowerPoint at the same time. Microsoft has introduced this feature, but now it's promoting it more and more. Everybody will not going to be forced to go cloud, but there's a lot of push for subscription-based services. And one of the ways to do this is that even now, Microsoft's Office 365 has a feature like Morph, for example, or design ideas in PowerPoint, which is not available on the regular Office 2016, which is computer-based. So there is a little push for people to go to cloud on some features. So these are some of the features that are available in Office 2019 when it becomes available later this year. Now let's talk about the iOS 12, which is the new operating system coming from Apple. What are some of the things that Apple is trying to introduce? Like Google, Apple is also trying to help users identify how much time they're spending on their phone. Really, a lot of the people have complained over the year, a period of time, that they can't really tell how much screen time they are spending. Also, what Apple has decided to do, it has decided to graphically represent how much time you're spending and where are you spending this time, so that you can figure out where to cut down and what exactly are you doing on that device that you are spending so much time on. So this will going to help people understand in a healthier fashion, in a breakdown by category, like if you're playing a lot of games, if you're spending a lot of time on social media, are you spending a lot of time emailing, are you spending a lot of time browsing, what exactly, or chatting, what exactly is it that you're doing on your screen time? So there's going to be a weekly summary of your usage habits. And just like in Android P, you will also be able to set time limits for each app. So iOS will automatically notify you when you're running out of this allotted time that you have given to each application. A times up message will display when the counter runs out. If you want to continue using that application, you can simply request more time. Apple is also applying this abundance of usage data to parental controls, giving parents greater oversight and supervision over how often their kids are staring at a screen. One of the features that Apple has been lacking for a very long time is to be able to take care of notification in a group fashion. You don't have to go through individual notification. If I'm getting like 100 notifications, you know, I should be able to dismiss multiple notifications from the same app at once. So group notifications will actually show up as stack and you should be able to get rid of them. So Apple's also giving users more authority over which apps are allowed to send notifications that vibrate their phone. Quiet notifications will show up in Notification Center, but not on your lock screen. So those are some of the features that Apple is introducing. Then new emojis will also going to be introduced, of course, you know. The roster of emojis with animation, that's a big thing. A lot of the people like now animated emojis. So there will going to be some expanding there in terms of introducing some new ones there. And also, Apple is introducing the idea of personalized ones. You'll be able to create a personalized one based on, you can choose the skin color, hairstyle, outfit, headgears, you name it. So it's going to be quite personalized emoji that you would be able to do. Another cool feature that I am really, really looking forward to is a group FaceTime. Instead of having an individual one-on-one FaceTime, you will now be able to bring a group of people in a FaceTime. The number of people that can FaceTime simultaneously, it's set it crazy 32. That's a pretty big number, 32. Best of luck, 32 people trying to communicate via FaceTime at the same time. But Apple iOS 12 will introduce this group FaceTime sessions that include up to 32 people. But that's great, you know. A lot of the time on family vacation or when we are going in different directions, business trips, want to communicate with our spouse and kids at the same time, and it has been a little struggle in the past, but this will going to be a cool feature. In fact, I'm going to be looking forward to that feature. Also, there is some news that Apple will going to be looking at better augmented reality experiences. It's already working with Pixar on a new file format specially designed for augmented reality applications. And some of the leading companies like Adobe and Autodesk and Sketchfab have already announced that they're going to be working with this new format. This new format is called USDZ. That's basically what this format is called. What Apple has done, Apple has created their own app called Measure Up. So iOS 12's more powerful augmented reality is basically being put to test with this new app called Measure. As the Measure app, typically, you know, you turn on your camera, you point at an object, and you probably point at a wall anywhere. You know, you put the object in the camera frame, tap and drag out an outline, or drag out a line and measure it. So several third-party softwares will actually support this idea too. So we also have ARKit 2. So Apple is trying to own the conversation around augmented reality and establish iOS as a platform that's leading breakthroughs for the unique mixed word experiences that augmented reality makes possible. And there will going to be some cool features added to Photos in iOS 12. It will automatically offer up search suggestions, add a new For You tab, which will suggest filters and effects, something based on your choices, something based on the pictures. Photos will also now make sharing suggestions. Friends who receive the photos will also going to be prompted back to share their own pictures back or videos back about the same event. So that is a cool thing. So I might have captured a portion of an event. My friends have captured a portion of an event. So that will be a good way to share what each one of us has captured. That way we could all put together and make our own little thing. So a lot of these features are a clear attempt by Apple to catch up to Google Photos, basically. Siri opens to more apps. That's another cool feature. Another cool feature that we have been hearing is called Shortcuts app. So what basically Shortcuts app does, it lets users string together multiple actions that can be triggered by a single custom Siri request. Also, there has been a big improvement in CarPlay. Apple announced that its in-car platform CarPlay will add support for two of the most popular turn-by-turn navigation apps, which are Google Maps and Waze. So that will also be included in. Also, there are going to be a completely rebuilt Stocks app. So Apple is putting real work into this Stocks app. It's coming to iPad. It will support after-hour stock prices and will now also going to include content from Apple News. So that's another thing for people who really look forward to Stocks. Similarly, voice memos is coming to iPad and adding iCloud syncing. So Apple announced that the voice memos app has similarly been redesigned and will come to the iPad with the release of iOS 12. Similarly, iBooks will now going to become Apple Books. So Apple is rebranding its ebook app from iBooks to Apple Books. Along with the name change comes a refreshed design that focuses on discoverability. So these are some of the features that are added to iOS 12, which will going to be released later this year. Preview version is available to developers. We're also going to talk about the Android's new operating system, which is called Android 8.0 Oreo. Android 8.0 Oreo offers things, features like, which makes it, as Google always claims, 2 times faster. It has some features which allows you to minimize background activity in the apps. Also, it introduces a feature of autofill. So with your permission, autofill remembers your logins to get you into your favorite apps at supersonic speed. Similarly, there is another feature that is being added called Smart Text Selection. Android Oreo recognizes text when you tap or select, then recommends a next logical step through a suggested app. Also, do two things at once is another feature that is being introduced, which is to allow picture-in-picture. So it allows you to see two apps at once. It's like having, you know, picture-in-picture kind of an effect. Similarly, notification dots. Press the notification dots to quickly see what's new and easily clear them by swiping away. Similarly, teleport directly into new apps right from your browser. No installation is needed. Google Play, that's a big thing, and a lot of the Google users know about this. So Apple has been working very hard on its store, so does Google. So Google has been trying very hard, and it does a great job, and this time also by scanning over 50 billion apps, billion with a B, 50 billion apps per day. Even the ones you have not installed, it basically keep your device and data safe from misbehaving apps. That's a great feature. Also, talk about a lifesaver, whether you're talking, playing, working, or streaming. You can feel confident about keeping your battery strong and full of life. Emojis are added so that you can express yourself better. So again, a lot of cool features are added to Android, also alongside Apple. Apple usually catches up to some of the features of Android. Some of the Apple features I talked about earlier are already available in Android platforms, so Android is actually looking forward to adding some features. Now we're going to talk about some of the features that are new in Windows 10. One of the features is called Timeline. Timeline is a great feature that I started exploring and working with. For example, I've been working on a lot of projects, and in order to work with them, I do a lot of research, and sometimes while doing research, I lose track. In an hour or so, I just saw something, oh my God, where it is, where it went. So all of these things that I go through are being kept in a timeline. So I can go to the Windows timeline, which is a new option available next to the search at the bottom of the taskbar. You can click on it, and that allows you to browse through the things that you have recently visited. And it categorizes them by today, and yesterday. It's a pretty cool feature that makes your searching a lot easier. Another cool feature that Windows 10 has is the Focus Assist. A Focus Assist is located where your date is right next to it. If you click, you're gonna get this long list of items. You can turn on the Focus Assist or turn it off. Or you can set the rules of turning on or off the Focus Assist. Whenever you do so, it basically does not bother you with any kind of updates that come through emails or other means or social media while you are concentrating and working on something. It's a great feature to be on. A lot of the time I'm working on something and here goes a pop-up right on the desktop, an update, an email, something like that, and you lose your concentration. It's a great feature to allow you to focus. It's called Focus Assist. So it's located next to date in quick action buttons. Another feature that is added called Nearby Sharing. Nearby Sharing lets you instantly share your videos, photos, documents, and websites with people and devices near you over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. Similarly, Microsoft has made a lot of changes and updates to Microsoft Edge, which includes mute a tap. So if a particular tab is slowing a sound, is playing a music or a background sound, and you want to mute it, all you need to do is simply click on an audio icon that will show on the tab, or right-clicking and muting, or you can unmute by simply doing the same process again. Similarly, you can store your personal information on an Edge, and you can autofill cards on any web forms. Similarly, there is another feature called clutter-free printing. So when you're printing web pages using Microsoft Edge web browser without pop-ups and other unnecessary clutter, it'll going to help you. It'll enable you to do the printing. It's an extremely cool feature. Similarly, a full screen reading experience. For example, if you're reading an ebook or a PDF file, you can do that in a full screen reading right within Edge by simply pressing F11 function key on the keyboard. Also, Microsoft Edge has added grammar tools to support in reading mode for web pages and books to help improve reading comprehension to create a more inclusive reading experience. One of the cool features that has been added is called Windows Ink. Instead of typing, you can simply tap to ink. So now you can choose to ink instead of to type. You can use your digital pen to write directly in text fields for a more natural experience. Just tap a space like a search box and it expands to give you a comfortable area in which to write. You can even edit what you have written with simple gestures. You can go to settings and then go to devices, and then go to pen and Windows Ink, and that's where you can set up your settings. Ink acceleration, that's another feature which is designed to reduce the delay and improve latency of your digital pen by up to 30 to 50%. That's the biggest challenge. A lot of the people who wanna use this digital ink is that it's not real time, but now Microsoft has done a great job trying to make it real time. Similarly, new features has been added to Microsoft Photos, like you can add 3D objects to your pictures, to 3D models. For example, if there is a 3D model of a birthday cap, you can put it on top of a kid's head, things like that. You can search and find pictures a lot more quicker. Also, there's 3D in Windows 10 animations in Mixed Reality Viewer. You record a video with animated 3D objects. Capture a flying saucer hovering over your friend's shoulder or a dinosaur lurking around the corner. It's easy. Just click the Remix 3D button to find animated objects you can drop into your video. Or from the bottom right of the app, you can find one-click animations to make static 3D objects come to life. So that's another feature that's been added. Also, there is 3D animations in PowerPoint, which is an extremely cool thing. For a very long time, we only had clip arts, then Microsoft took that away from, and then pushed everything into the Bing. With the 3D animations in PowerPoint, it's a really, really cool thing. Also, we have Paint 3D, which allows you to create artistic work. Cortana, which is Microsoft's assistant on the Windows platform. So Cortana now lets you manage your smart home and play your favorite music and playlists on Spotify from your PC just using your voice. Another feature Windows 10 has is called Windows Dictation. You can open a Word document and you can simply press the Window and an H key together, Window H, which will going to bring up the dictation, and then you can start your dictation. It's a natural computing experience. As you speak, it types what you're speaking. It's a much improved one than the last one, so Microsoft is expecting a lot of it. And a lot of the time, on my phone, I don't type my emails. I rather speak and I let the phone type it for me. Then I go over my email and make changes. If I could have something cool like that on my computer, that's awesome. Also, the touch keyboard that's available on Windows, it's a blessing if you know more than one spoken language, written languages. It supports over 190 plus. That's a great thing. Now, when I do my writing in different languages that I know, it's an extremely cool feature. I can download a language that I'm using and it automatically let me type through this touchscreen keyboard, which makes your life so much easier. So when it comes to security, Windows Defender Application Guard, commonly known as WDAG, comes to Windows 10 Pro. Microsoft is bringing Windows Defender Application Guard to Windows 10 Professional in the next feature update of Windows 10. Now, like Windows 10 Enterprise users, Windows 10 Pro users can navigate the internet in Windows Defender Application Guard, knowing their systems are protected from even the most sophisticated browser attacks. Another cool feature that has been added to OneNote. Some of the math students use OneNote a lot in the classroom to take notes. So I started noticing that a lot of them are using it, and I'm like, okay, they must be taking notes on it. But now, with this new feature added, this is awesome. So Ink Math Assistant in OneNote for Windows 10 helps you solve handwritten equations, provides step-by-step instructions, and even graphs the results to enhance learning and problem solving. So you can actually write down a formula on the left-hand side. You can put a variable right inside. You can just put numbers. And right within OneNote, it can help you figure out, calculate all those numbers, and come with an answer which you can write down. That's an awesome thing. Extremely beneficial to students. One of the other features that Microsoft is introducing is a single sign-on. So whenever you sign on into any of the entities, it's a single sign-on which automatically sign you in into all the entities that requires a Microsoft sign-in or allows you to sign in through Microsoft. So these are some of the cool features that are coming to Windows 10, are already in place, and I really hope you start using them. They're great user experiences. Another development that's happening these days is happening in the field of robotics, especially the combination of robotics and medical science. In the field of surgical sciences, there is a lot of robot usage. You basically determine as easy to use surgical robots for developing world, but they're not cheap. For example, if you take an example of the Da Vinci surgical system alone, which is used to treat more than 3 million patients, which has been used to treat 3 million people, cost $2 million, and then hundreds and thousands of dollars are needed to keep it up to date during the year. So it is expected that the global surgical robotic market, which is booming, is set to reach up to a $12.6 billion industry by 2025. That's just surgical robots alone. Robots are used every day, everywhere. We have so many plants where we have robots producing other robots. There are so many robots that are used in automotive industry, in consumer electronics. A lot of robots are used everywhere. Robots are not used that much yet in the surgical field. One of the reasons is the equipment is so expensive that a lot of the time only certain hospital systems can get a hold of them, and they have enough patients to justify the cost. So if you are surrounded by wealthy patients, yeah, the robot-wielding surgeons are, you know, surgeries will going to happen a lot, but poor patients do not really get access to these surgeries. Also, another fabulous reason is that only 1 in 5 students at top-tier medical schools attain the necessary level of competencies to work with these machines. So robots are, yes, becoming more common, but we also need skill sets to work with those robots. These are extremely expensive machines, and they're extremely complex machines. We need to not only just purchase them, but we also need to make sure that we keep them up to date. Now, creating a surgical robot control software from scratch is also a great task. You know, it has to be extremely precise, and all these software companies will basically charge you for the services anytime you make contact with them for any kind of upgrades, maintenance, to design a better system. So it's an ongoing cost, and it doesn't come cheap. If you talk about the U.S. Armed Forces, the U.S. Army has issued a new vision statement for 2028 that details how the service intends to fight against their enemies. And one of the things that they have brought in place is the use of robotics. That's the way to go. They call for force modernization through robotics. And not only just robotics, we need artificial intelligence development. Now, a lot of the people do not understand the founding principles and how great artificial intelligence can be. At the same time, it can be extremely tricky. What artificial intelligence really entails is the fact that there is a learning process in a robot. So you should be able to train a robot, and robots should be able to not only get trained, but also should be able to build on that knowledge and should be able to make decisions on its own based on the knowledge and should be able to perceive new knowledge. It's pretty much like a baby. We need to start feeding the knowledge into a robot. Like, we need to start showing them shapes and some basic things, start giving them some vision and ideas. Some basic human development serves a foundation for basic robot development, because we want them to serve us. We want to be training them like a human gets trained. So through the process of artificial intelligence, that is the idea, that we want them to be able to make certain decisions on their own. However, how rational those decisions could be, because robots will not going to be geared by emotions. There's no emotions involved. So if it's a human being, there's an emotion involved. So there's a lot of factors that drive a human decision. When it comes to robots, probably they are not as accurate in terms of decision making as humans are, because they're extremely fact oriented. Just like in any other field, even in the field of construction, the robots are being used, and construction robotic industry is set to double by the year 2023. According to a recent report by Markets and Markets, the global construction robot market is set to more than double by 2023, going from 76.6 million to an estimated 166.4 million. So there will going to be a huge boom in every industry that requires any kind of robotics. Now, there is big popularity, great popularity in construction robots. They have gained some grounds with the development of robots. They can do anything from excavating earth to taking overhead photos. So they have limitless, endless opportunities out there when it comes to robotics. So a lot of the construction industry people are trying to utilize a perfect fit of blending these robots with humans, which is basically called co-robot. One of the other reasons stated that the recent popularity on the construction side of the robotic arms have recently become a whole lot more portable. Robot arms traveling on semi-autonomous platforms can build small structures almost entirely on their own, often using 3D printing technology. So there's a big push in a lot of areas. A lot of research is being done. So watch out for these changes. A lot of changes happening around us. We like it or we don't. So the idea is what the future workforce will going to look like. So if you're preparing for future workforce, don't look at what's hot right now. Look at what will going to be hot and trendy when you graduate. Also, there is a big push how to train the future workforce and robotics. So there are a lot of plans at education level, maybe to introduce as early as elementary school certain elements of robotics in the curriculum. Moving forward, these students will going to get some more information as they walk into the middle school. Maybe they will going to get to play with robots as early as fifth grade, and they build robots probably in middle school. Moving forward to high school, they will going to learn a lot of sciences and mathematics and programming of the robots. And by the time they're done with the high school, they will going to be robotics ready to enter college. In college, they will going to be prepared for industry so that they can go and become part of industry and be extremely successful in robotics. In order for all of this to happen, a great deal of planning is required. A lot of carefully drafted curriculum needs to be created. Supplies at an affordable cost need to be provided, all the way from elementary school system through PhD system. A lot of things have to be streamlined and linked to make this process as seamless as possible. In utopia, in a perfect world, we will going to look to a perfect solution to the problem. But traditionally, we will try, or we usually try, to streamline the process as much as possible. As you're aware, there are a lot of bridges that are recently we are building between the school systems and the Wisconsin Technical College system. There are some Wisconsin Technical College system classes that are offered in high school. There is Hour of Code, which allows elementary school kids and middle school kids to come to college, get exposed to the coding environment. There are other initiatives too, through Real School, that allow the middle school kids or high school kids to come into the engineering department and get to learn within the environment. A lot of these changes are continuing.